141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a huge weekend of cup action. Celtic and Rangers both went through to the semis yesterday, seeing off Livingston and Hibs respectively, with plenty of talking points involved. Aberdeen were the first team through, but the search for a new manager is on after Neil Warnock's departure, and the semi-final lineup will be completed tonight as Hearts go to Morton. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah.
Now, Gordon, compared to you two young gentlemen, I am a man of a certain age. Even I can't remember a Scottish Cup quarter-final weekend with quite so much high drama. Aberdeen beat Kilmarnock to reach Hampden, and Neil Warnock goes before we can even get Dave Galloway's full-time report. Celtic are twice penned back by Livingston and need a great hat-trick by Dyson Meira and a great save by Joe Hart to see them off. Rangers get past Hibs, who had two red cards in that feisty second half at Easter Road, and that's even before Hearts go to the tail of the bank to complete the tale of the last eight.
Celtic leave it late, wasn't pretty, but ultimately got the job done. They're in the hat for the semi-final. Rangers rounded off what was a very tough week with a professional performance. Aberdeen, the fiasco's over, the Warnock episode's done, but he signs off by getting them in the hat as well. And we've got the small matter, the fourth tie and the draw to look forward to tonight as well.
0141 951 1025, that is the number you need. You can tweet at Clyde SSB. It is a busy, busy night ahead, I suspect, because the quarter-final stage, that's when the cup gets real. Just don't ask Andy and his teammates about that. But that's when the cup gets real. That's when a place at Hampden is at stake. So any result is going to be a big one. If you want to look back on the performances, the results, who was good, who was bad, you can get your calls in, as always, in Scottish football, because it is our currency. There was a fair bit of controversy in there as well. Social media has been an interesting place over the weekend, so you can get your thoughts over on some of those talking points. Aberdeen fans, and I actually think this goes beyond Aberdeen fans, the story of Neil Warnock. We had fans of other clubs giving us their opinions over the weekend. There's been an update today. Interviews could start this week, potentially. Someone who's employed by another club and looking towards an appointment during the international break. Maybe more questions than answers then, given the statement from Aberdeen at the weekend. And the final game tonight, I'd love to hear from you if you're on the road, Hearts fans driving through or Morton fans heading along to Capello. That's a proper cup tie, that. So get involved on 0141 951 1025. To whet your appetite, Halliday and Hannah, take it away. Result of the weekend, please.
Well, the result of the weekend was right at the start of the weekend for me. Aberdeen 3, Kilmarnock 1. We had Simon, the Kelly fan, in the show on Friday night. Him and all his pals were going up full of hope, full of a degree of expectation. I don't think Kilmarnock will ever have gone to Pittodrie quite filled so full of hope and expectation. And yet, Neil Warnock's last act was to guide Aberdeen to Hampden.
I'm going to go with Rangers. I listened into the show on Saturday and I heard Mr. Keevan say Hibs will never have a better chance of beating Rangers going into the game, and I knew straight away that meant there's only one thing: it's going to be a Rangers win, it's going to be a professional performance. And I think that's exactly what we got, especially after a tough week with Europa League on the Thursday.
Okay, what about your goal of the weekend then? I feel like you had some okay options.
We did have some okay options. I have to say I'm slightly biased by the wow factor from this studio yesterday afternoon. I was in the car for a period of time listening to the coverage of Celtic versus Livingston and the reaction that Tete Yenge's goal got at 2-2 from Messrs. Wilson, DL, Keevans and your good self. I watched it later on at night. Very, very good finish. He's actually a decent player. I've seen the big lad a couple of times.
Yes.
Good player. He is Livingston's best chance league-wise and almost gave them a chance in the cup.
He's a big old unit as well, isn't he?
He is. I remember talking about him after his debut was against Hearts when I was at Hearts on the bench, and his 20-minute cameo, I thought straight away they've signed Joel Nibley part two. And yeah, he was excellent. Great finish. But I'm going to go with Graham Shinney. It's a disappointing end for him by obviously getting that booking that's going to make him miss a semi-final. But you know, he's stepped onto it on his weaker right foot. Took a slight deflection, but it was a fantastic finish nonetheless.
Okay, let's get more negative about the full thing. Who was howling this weekend? Who's your howler?
Well, if you think there's plenty of candidates for goals, there was certainly plenty of candidates for the howler. But the outstanding one for me has to be poor old Jordan Obita. He concedes the penalty in the first half at Easter Road for the foul on Dujon Sterling. He then has a silly swipe at Tom Lawrence in the middle of the park. He could I've got a second yellow for the way he was shoving Ross McCausland off when he was going off injured. He got a final warning from Stephen McLean and he just didn't listen to it. He had a wee swipe at Robbie Matondo as well. Off he pops. And the worst news for a Hibs player sent off on a Sunday afternoon, Andy, he's still available for Dingwall on Wednesday night.
Yeah, I suspect some of you might want to have your say on those red cards, so you can do that on the usual number, your howler, Andy.
I'm going to just go Livingston's defending, Gordon, and I think you can take a pick at any of the four goals that I will for mention. And I mean, Davey, he's not got a lot of hair, but he must be pulling out what is left, because I thought Livy's structure, their shape was fine throughout the game, although Celtic had a few chances, but it's just individual errors that are costing them time and time again, and it was a bit similar to what we've seen throughout the season from them.
Aye, that was quite something, that has to be said.
If, right. I'll do a particular goal, I'll say the second. Second goal.
Okay.
Were just waiting on the Keystone Cops coming in from the side of the picture for that goal.
Yeah, incredible. Right, and to finish off, your top man, top performer, who's getting the nod?
I'm going to go for John Lundstrom. I think he's played really well under Philippe Clement. A lot of his good work goes under the radar, and I just thought yesterday he led by example, really. Not only the way he burst in to knock in the rebound when James Tavernier's penalty was saved by David Marshall, but just from start to finish. And it's notable, you know, Philippe Clement rotates players in that front six all the time, but the one guy he doesn't rotate is John Lundstrom. He said he was going to play Ryan Jack yesterday. I actually wondered if it was going to be the expense of Lundstrom, whether he'd maybe penciled in a rest for him yesterday. He didn't get a rest, and I thought he was excellent.
Okay.
I've been having an inner battle with myself over the last 30 minutes because I can't believe I'm not going to say a guy that got a hat-trick. But I'm going to go with Nicholas Kuhn. He's came under a lot of scrutiny, quite rightly so, for some as well. I think he would hold his hand up himself with some of his performances, but I thought yesterday was excellent. And I think it's maybe a bit too early to say he's arrived as a Celtic player, but I thought he was really, really infectious in terms of his energy throughout, and he added that with some quality as well. Fantastic ball for the first goal, but I thought his overall contribution to the game was very good.
Okay, that's the scene set, but what do you think? That's the most important thing about this show on 01419511025. You could talk about your team's performance, the players that impressed you or didn't impress you over the weekend. Like we said, there are always talking points on a Monday night in terms of refereeing decisions or things that we might argue over. We're more than happy to entertain those as well, so get your calls in. And there is a big game tonight. I'd love to hear your thoughts ahead of Morton Hearts, and you Aberdeen fans or anyone else that's watched that situation with interest. What do you make of it? Neil Warnock, 33 days and gone. And then an update today in terms of the time frame that we're looking at. So get in touch right now if you can, just like John in Maryhill has done. How are you, John?
Hi, good evening, guys. How are you?
Hi, John.
Hi, John.
Not bad. What are you thinking?
Watched the game yesterday. So Hibs, I've never seen Hibs come out and play and tackle and fight like that in many, many seasons. And Michael Stewart's comments, the commentary, I couldn't believe some of the stuff the guy was saying. I don't know what you thought about the tackles yourself.
Yeah, I mean, just for giving me an easy night, I'll leave Michael Stewart to it because he's not here to defend himself. And if people then start phoning the Via Play about all the daft things Hugh Keevan says, we'll go round and round.
All day.
But to make it specifically about the incidents, Roger, Andy, take it away, whatever order you wish.
Well, I'll make it pretty easy. I thought the referee got every single decision right. And I think the only one that I think could maybe have a debate about is Nariah Walsh's tackle, sorry. I think that's the only one that's maybe even up for debate. I think it was a nailed-on penalty. I think Obita can have no complaints whatsoever with the second yellow card. And then, again, I think the second red card maybe falls into the realm of that clear and obvious error, because I don't think there'll be anyone that didn't think in real time that wasn't a red card. But then when you watch the replay, was there contact there? So then it's that clear and obvious error. But I still think the way he went into the tackle was madness. I thought he lost all composure. I think Hibs did it as a side. And then that's exactly why we've shown the red card.
Totally agree. Stephen McLean get every decision right. It's a stonewall penalty. He's climbing all over the back of Dujon Sterling. The second yellow, he could have gone earlier. As I said at the top of the show, he could quite easily have gone earlier in the game. He lost the place. And the second red card for me is a red card. You don't need to break somebody's ankle for it to be a red card. He is out of control. He's
enough contact on Lundstrom for you.
He's endangering an opponent.
Right.
He's endangering an opponent. You look at the one that John McGinn got down south yesterday, when he's had a kind of swipe at the Destiny Odogie of Spurs. Again, that's a red card. You're endangering an opponent. Nowadays, see,
they're not comparable though, because McGinn whacks them though. I'm not saying that one's right or wrong. I'm just saying they're not really comparable.
Mariah Welsh could, you know, it's only through John Lundstrom's quick thinking that he doesn't get whacked.
I'm not saying that as a judgment as to what's right and what's wrong. I'm
nowadays,
just saying
when you're out of control like that, you're endangering an opponent. You're going off. It's as simple as that.
You two are in agreement with everything and in agreement with John. That's a bit dull.
I'm sure we'll get plenty more calls.
Disagrees. I mean, John, was it about just coming through that? Is that the nature of a cup tie? Doesn't really matter if it's, you know, sparkling. How did you feel about the game overall?
I thought Rangers were very, very comfortable, very professional performance coming on the back of that 2-2 at Benfica. The travelling, the intensity of the game. I thought the squad was absolutely brilliant. As I said, Hibs were coming out very, very aggressive with the challenges. They were fighting for everything. They were still in the game before the big fella got sent off. But a well-deserved win, very important win for still going on for the treble.
Yeah, what did you make of it, you two,
it's
overall
strange,
as a game?
I actually listened to our dear friend Marvin Bartley, who was in via play duty last night, and he said at the final whistle he was kind of disappointed with Hibs. He thought Hibs would present more of a challenge. I actually thought Hibs did present a challenge. You know, there was that spell at the start of the second half, Gordon, where I think they had four consecutive corners and they were putting the ball in top of Jack Butland. They were causing a few problems. There was a wee spell in the first half. Remember the one early on when Jack Butland got his feet in a sort of mess and... Merlida got the shot and it came off the post and went wide.
You wondered if that was Hibs' night, because Jack Butland hasn't had too many ropey moments since he came.
I actually thought Hibs did, but you know, as well, John's making the point, they were slamming into tackles. Of course they were, there's nothing the matter with that. I actually thought they gave Rangers quite a big examination, particularly as John says, off the back of, you know, coming back from Lisbon, the fact that there were no changes in the team.
Any concerns that it comes at a cost? Rangers have done well, to be fair, to manage injuries. Philippe Clement's never really complained about it, and people have come in. You can't keep doing that forever, though. And when Dujon Sterling, who has to fill gaps of injured players, goes off and is replaced by Ross McCausland, who then goes off, it's starting to get close.
Yeah, I think especially when it's in such an isolated area of the pitch. And, you know, to reference Mr. Keevans again with his prediction going into the game, you did feel after watching the game against Benfica on Thursday, for me watching it, I thought Rangers looked dead in their feet the last 15, 20 minutes. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's just what I've seen. So I did think that going into the game, it was a real opportunity for Hibs. And then that's where our first disagreement of the night will come with me and Roger. I was really disappointed in Hibs in the way they approached the first half of the game. I thought the first half, they were really slow out the traps. They never really got close to Rangers. Out with that Malida chance where Button gets the ball stuck under the feet, I don't think they caused any threat in the first half at all. But then, in all fairness, I thought the second half, they were really good. They came out a lot more intent, a lot more, put a lot more pressure on Rangers, numerous corners in quick succession. But then they lost all, they just lost control of their emotions within the game. But of course, I think it's very, very rarely we see a Philippe Clement Rangers side play with two starting 11s in a row. And I think that tells you everything you know in terms of what's available in terms of rotation.
Thank you, John. Let's bring in Tony, who's on the line. Tony, you got anything from Easter Road on your mind?
Well, I'm a Celtic man, tonight's panel, so I'll just get it out there.
Go for
Sutherland,
it.
Sutherland went off injured. Could have went off earlier. High boot. Was it a high boot? Was it the same as Yang's last week?
Oh, yeah. That was earlier in the game, wasn't it?
About it yesterday, but
what did you make of that one? You're looking at me confused.
I watched the full game, and I don't want to duck your question, Tony. I'm going to ask Gordon if he can kindly, over the next 5-10 minutes, show me the incident and I'll watch it back. But to be completely honest, I don't actually remember that.
No, I don't remember that.
You're now confusing me.
Sorry, Tony.
Is it?
I was right. It was pretty much at the start of the game. I'm sure there were a few other guys that will come on and mention it, but even at that, in general, between the Celtic game and the Rangers game, I think the referees, again, there was a few mistakes in the two games that need to be looked at. I just think there's no consistency at all.
Oh, now that's a different thing. I mean, we discuss every week the lack of consistency. I actually thought
it wasn't the worst weekend for referees.
It
came back to me. That's why it wasn't Sterling. It was Diomande, I think, on Fish.
Diomande, sorry, correct.
Fish at the edge of the box, Fish at the edge of the attacking box, Fish kind of heads it. The only thing that I would say, purely not to avoid it, is the camera view from behind Will Fish, at no point can you tell where the high boot connects. Right. I genuinely don't think that you can. Tony might feel that he can, fine.
That was when Fish was up for an attacking Hibs corner.
Yeah, I think so.
I do remember it. No, I'm not convinced that's a red card, I have to say.
Tony, are you feeling hard done by all this?
No, it's just, it's obviously the last couple of months, few months, watching Celtic is really, you know, it's made me wonder what's happened in the past year. But with all this other stuff, with referees, bad decisions, it's just, this season just seems to be, it feels as if it's dragging on now.
So what did you think the ref, so you've already said the high boot, to be fair, was there anything else you felt that the ref got wrong yesterday?
I think he started getting excited with his yellow cards. I think obviously the Hibs defender with a penalty as well. I mean, where do you stop on it? Did they mean to trip him? Was that a, you know, could they have sent him off then?
No, I mean, you wouldn't send him off. I suppose the debate.
No,
would
he didn't.
Be,
I think he was lucky to avoid the yellow card.
No, but remember, you don't really do that anymore either, because now if you make an attempt to play the ball, the double jeopardy thing that they so everything's been scaled back. So yeah, those offences in the box probably wouldn't be a a booking anymore.
The first booking was a foul on Tom Lawrence, so it wasn't a penalty.
Hmm?
The first booking wasn't the penalty.
Oh, right, sorry, I thought you were talking about was lucky not to be booked for the penalty.
The first booking was the trip.
Sorry,
Triantis was actually in an area where they could probably cover it as well, so it was a bit of a silly one. But no, listen, we've already talked about the incidents yesterday, but I think the referees, you know, we've been critical at times in terms of that inconsistency. I think especially over the handball rule, we spoke at length last week, obviously, but then you see the Benfica game where, you know, it doesn't seem like the European, it's not all rosier over with the European referee side, by the way, because, you know, I'm not going to get into the John Souter incident, but again, very, very similar to what I was dismayed about. I don't think it was as bad, don't get me wrong, as the Awat incident, but certainly up there for me.
And it's not any rosier down south either when you look at that challenge in the 99th minute at Anfield yesterday as well.
That was billed as a title decider yesterday. I was going to say I look forward to a decision like that and a title decider here, but I don't actually. I'll be phoning in sick. Tony, what about the red card? The second one, sorry, the straight red.
I mean, did they go to VAR? Did people have a chance to review it? You know,
It did.
You can't come in, I suppose, the side of a player like that either. You know, it's
okay. Fair enough. Tony's sort of hands up on that one. I've been through it. Do you know what I'm really annoyed at in Scottish football? I'm annoyed that they've probably made people think that I like reading from the rule book. Actually, I was quite a simple football fan before all this. I used to just go and just get joy from.
No, you've always been very good.
You're a stickler for the rules.
You know the rules.
Since I started this job, because you have to. That's what I'm saying. I was never really bothered about what the law
was. I can see you as a mother old ball boy. Sat behind the goal, third part, saying to the other wee mother old ball boys. No.
Don't be fooled by these glasses.
That's the attacking phase of play, you know.
Don't be fooled by these glasses. It's because I've got sore eyes. I've told you this. I'm feeling very sorry for myself. We'll do it again for the 15th time in the last week. Serious foul play is a tackle or challenge that endangers the safety of an opponent or uses excessive force or brutality. Any player who lunges at an opponent from the front, from the side, or from the back, using one or both legs with excessive force or endangers the safety of an opponent, is guilty of serious foul play. So it doesn't need to tick all of those boxes, it needs to tick some of them. I think you two have shown your hand already. You think that there are boxes ticked to there?
Yeah.
Which ones in particular?
Well, I don't want to go back through the rule again. There's just enough within it. You know yourself, nowadays, when Andy Halliday started out in this wonderful career of his in 2009, his first start, Livingston against Partick Thistle, Simon Donnelly and the opposing team. Back in 2009, when young Andy Halliday and old Simon Donnelly were smashing into each other in the centre circle at the West Lothian Courier Stadium, it would be called then, or something of that ilk. Those challenges were permissible. Those challenges, you probably wouldn't get a yellow card for those challenges. Football has moved on. The rules have evolved. Nowadays, those challenges aren't welcome in the game.
What about for you?
Well, you know I'm not a huge fan of excessive force. I think there's a bit of a grey area for me, especially with my argument of how you can go into a tackle. But, I mean, that covers every single bracket of excessive force for me. Not only the distance he travels, it's the way he jumps off both feet
I
think...
I wonder if the problematic word is lunge. So any player who lunges at an opponent from the front side or from behind using one or both legs.
Yeah. And listen, Roger was right in the sense that, I mean, if he, we're talking about maybe there's not that much contact, if he makes contact with John Lundstrom going in at that force, jumping off 2 feet and landing into his ankle, you don't even want to speculate what it could be.
Tony, from your own perspective, you said you were getting it right out there at the start. You were a Celtic man. You happy to be through, I take it? Was that the priority yesterday?
I think the score line makes it look better than what it was. Put it that way, it was a hard watch for the full game. As I said, only two players, even though he scored the hat-trick, couldn't look good. And Hart saved us, I think, an embarrassing scoreline.
Well, so it's Tony's verdict. What do you think, though? Are you agreeing or disagreeing? 01419511025. Call us right now if you can, and we'll try and get you on next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. It's 01419511025. So let's get stuck straight back in. Gary is a Celtic fan from Govan. Just before the break, Gary, we were doing the usual Monday night refereeing debates. Is that what you're on for or something else? What have you got?
The VAR man should be banned for football, to be quite honest. We should be banned from ever buying a match again. My Rangers fans were laughing at it. My Rangers mates were in hysterics. They thought it was hilarious. It ruined the whole game.
Right. Yeah. Well. So yesterday, Easter Road, you thought they were that bad? The decision.
That bad. The VAR man should be banned from football. Honestly, that was absolutely atrocious. My Rangers mates were hee-hawing, laughing at it.
Were they?
Aye.
Jeez. I like how we've gone from one extreme to the other, because last week all the talk was we're naming them too much. Now it's just the VAR man. So I'm happy to
VAR man was
somewhere in the middle.
I'd send them back to wherever they came from. Honestly, take up table tennis.
What particular incident, Gary, or just all of them?
No, just that particular. That was just abysmal. I mean, the guy should have been booked for diving at the very least.
For the penalty?
Aye.
Well, take it away. Go on, you two.
For
them all. Gary's just.
But he's saying that Sterling should have been booked for diving for the penalty, is that right?
I think he did go that far, yes.
I mean.
The guy that died, no. Well,
I'm glad that you're not on VAR.
Or are you talking John Lundstrom for the second red? What are we on?
John Lundstrom for the second red, that was a bit suspect. But it went in with 2 feet. That was bad enough. End of story.
All right,
you know what I mean? It wasn't abysmal. It wasn't atrocious. I mean,
but the penalty you think was?
The penalty was atrocious. The penalty was ludicrous.
Oh no, I thought it was a penalty kick. I thought Jordan Obita was all over the back of him. I don't think Jordan Obita is nowhere near the ball. He's all over the back of Dujon Sterling. You know, just look at it at the time, even before Stephen McLean pointed to the spot, I thought it was a penalty.
Yeah, I mean, very, very similar. I certainly don't think that Dujon Sterling's dived in that scenario. I've been there as a defender at times where you get caught wrong side of your opponent. Sometimes it's one of the cases where you just need to try and let the attacker so you can get back down maybe at the side of him to affect them. But anytime you're sort of in the back of someone, if there's going to be any type of contact there and he goes down, you're giving away a penalty.
Doesn't sound like you're having it, Gary. You'll need to agree to disagree with these two.
Absolutely, 100%. So, atrocious. Atrocious decision.
Do you think they really are, Gary? Let me try and I'm going to do amateur psychology, but are they that bad, these decisions, or is everybody just getting more and more hyped up as every week goes?
Had three of my Rangers mates laughing in hysterics after they watched it in slow motion three times. It was like, okay, it definitely wasn't a penalty.
Who are these hysterical laughers? I don't know, but I think
we're getting to a bit of an issue now, because I think we're chastising VAR and the referees week to week now for decisions they're getting right. And even if you don't think they're getting right, no, we're brandishing them ludicrous and disgraceful when they're definitely not. I mean, you can absolutely, if Gary phoned up last week and he was talking about the incidents in the Celtic Hearts game, I thought the referees and VAR had a really poor day. I thought they got big decisions wrong in the game, and you could maybe describe them as ludicrous or scandalous or whatever they may be. But I think now we're just pickpocketing decisions that the majority, I believe, probably thinks that Stephen McLean and VAR get them all right yesterday. And even if there's a debate to be had, we're brandishing them ludicrous and disgraceful.
For once, actually, I thought the Scottish referees and VARs had a better weekend. You know, you look around, as Andy was talking about, the foreign referee in Benfica on Thursday night, that penalty kick. The English referee yesterday at the end of the Liverpool City game. Those were decisions you could debate. I don't think any of the decisions in Scotland over the weekend were really worthy of any great debate. I think they were all sort of open and shut cases.
But I wonder if Andy's very sensible tonight. He's, you know, he's,
that's why I've, he's anyone watching the live stream, that's why I've worn my referee's outfit.
I can see that he is dressed like a ref. We'll maybe get onto that a bit later on. But I wonder if there is a more serious point here. There is not a chance me, who hosts this show 6 days a week, is going to tell people they can't debate refereeing decisions. Debate them to your heart's content. Bring it on. I do wonder though if the level of discourse is getting a little bit out of hand in terms of, as Andy says, we've moved now everyone that's even marginal has been described as disgraceful, embarrassing, shocking. Some of the stuff on social media, pull the players off the pitch, this is getting out of hand, this can't continue. I don't know, it feels like it's all getting a little bit dramatic, all a little bit over the top. And I know there's always been a bit of that.
But listen, as Andy said, 7 days ago, over the top was fine, because some of the decisions last weekend were worthy of an over the top reaction. This weekend is not the same.
Well, Gary, you can have the final say. Who are we'll get these pals to give us a call, see if they're still chuckling away.
Well, the Hearts game was a lot worse, but I mean, I'm not a Hearts fan, you know what I mean? That would be seen as biased.
You're not a Hibs fan either.
Far from it.
You're just an interested observer trying to keep up the integrity of the game. I like your style, Gary, on 01419511025. Keep your calls coming in. It's been a good start. Let's hear maybe from some of the managers, the reaction to that stuff yesterday, and as we said, a bit of contentious is good for us in Scottish football. You know, a bit of drama, a bit of disagreement up to a point. The Rangers manager, first of all, says there's no place in football for tackles like Nathan Mariah Welsh's, and he also agreed with Jordan Obita's second yellow.
If you put a hand or an arm in a face, you can get a yellow. That everybody knows. And the tackle was a few yards away of me. It's a reckless tackle with your studs in front. And it doesn't matter then if you break a leg or not. It's just reckless. So I think it's important to get that kind of tackles out of the game, because we've seen the last couple of weeks sometimes where we didn't get this red card. I was not happy about that. Also that moment. I think it's not good for Scottish football, English football, Belgian football, German football, tackles like that. Players need to know that if you tackle like that, that you get a red card. It's for nobody good, because it's a danger to injure somebody if you go in like that.
Of course, I can understand people listening. Well, he would say that. He's the Rangers manager. So let's give you Nick Montgomery's take on it all.
Jordan's an experienced player, so if he has done something that's deemed a second yellow card, then that's something that you don't want. Nathan's 21 years old. He's young into first team football, and to be honest, it was right in front of me. A lot of respect for John Lundstrom, top player, but I thought the way he went down, Nathan didn't catch him. I've seen that one back, and he's gone across him to try and block him, playing the ball down the line and probably knock it out for a throw-in. But John's gone down, and to be honest, the referee was very quick to give the card. I was really surprised that he didn't go to VAR monitor to have a look, considering it was, I think, 3 metres from where the incident happened. Sometimes just a bit of inconsistency on looking at decisions, and we talk about the penalty. Whether it's a penalty, whether it's not a penalty. A couple of weeks ago against Celtic, we had the exact same incident with Martin Boyle. Quick winger running inside, full-back chasing, any contact, but Martin Boyle gets a yellow card and we get a penalty given against us today. So yeah, you have to see incidents like that, and it just does baffle you at times.
I should say, we wish Martin Boyle well.
Yes, we do. I'm glad to hear he's out of hospital today and on the mend, back home with his family. But his manager's out of order saying that about John Lundstrom. Nathan Mariah Welsh, I don't care if he's 21 or 81, you cannot be challenging like that. John Lundstrom did well to get out the way of the main force of that. So he's out of order criticising John Lundstrom's role in it. He's an innocent party. He's the victim of the challenge. And he's wrong to start comparing a lunge by Nathan Mariah Welsh to an incident that happened with Martin Boyle against Celtic several weeks ago. They're not comparable. He's wrong to try and draw comparisons, and he's wrong to try and blame John Lundstrom, and he's wrong to say, oh well, Nathan's only 21, you know.
John is on the line. He's on to talk about his namesake, John Lundstrom. The Hibs manager's not having him. I think you might be, John.
No. Well, we'll leave that one there. But no, evening, Gordon, Andy, Roger.
Hey, John.
to think the producer. I think it's imperative we get John Lundstrom signed up in a new contract, because this season, especially since Clement's come in, he's been absolutely phenomenal. I actually bought a John Lundstrom t-shirt when we were on the road to the Europe.
And I was nearly going to bin this summer, so it's back on now.
I'm glad I kept it. But absolutely brilliant he's been this season, and he's been a mainstay of the team. For the obviously in the start of the day, we've had 18 players that are injured, 18 different players at some stage of the season. But Lundstrom's the one mainstay, obviously with Tavernier, Butland, but Lundstrom's been absolutely phenomenal this season. Get him signed up as soon as possible, please.
I thought I saw a John Lundstrom t-shirt in Vinted for £250 earlier in the season, but John's taking it down.
It's £150 now.
New contract, is that?
I think it's deserved. Yeah, I think his performances since Philippe Clement has came in the door have been excellent, extremely consistent. I actually thought against Benfica on Thursday night is probably the only time I'd say he's been probably a little bit off it under Philippe Clement, but I thought he replied with a fantastic performance yesterday. I thought he was really controlled, composed in the middle of the pitch, and while others were losing composure round about him, he was the one that kept it in complete control the full 90 minutes. I wouldn't be surprised. Rangers have harped on about these having sellable assets and player trading models within. If he is offered a new contract, it'll be on lesser terms. Because I do think if John Lundstrom signs a new 2-3 year contract, takes him to 32, 33 year old, they don't really have the sellable asset that they are looking for. But ultimately, I think his performances have been that impressive that it's a must that he gets a new contract.
I mean, cynics out there would say that you play well when you need a new contract, but I wouldn't count myself as one of them. I wouldn't dare accuse him of that. The desire shown to get on the end of Tavernier's missed penalty, or saved penalty, was such that we all thought maybe he had encroached, because you're thinking,
he got there very early.
Got there, so there's two things there. Well done, John Lundstrom, but maybe Hibs players are you on your heels a little bit.
Well, if you watch it, I think John Lundstrom starts deeper and has the run and then gets the run past him, if you like. But listen, John, my dear friend Christopher from Ayrshire, who's a man who cheats at Beat the Pundit and also has a column on a Saturday in the Scottish Sun.
It's Chris Boyd, for anyone who doesn't know.
He said in his column on Saturday it was imperative, just the point you're making, John, it's imperative that Rangers get John Lundstrom signed up on a new deal. It will be an interesting one, because at his age, as Andy says, this is probably going to be the last kind of decent deal of John Lundstrom's career. Will he commit to another 3 or 4 years in Glasgow? Does he think he's got unfinished business back down south? Does he believe he could get into the English Premier League again, where he was with Sheffield United at one stage in the past? I genuinely don't know, but I think Philippe Clement will definitely want to keep him. And if you look at that Rangers midfield that played Thursday and played Sunday, there's a nice balance in it now. Lundstrom, Diamandé, Lawrence, they all sort of play different roles. I thought, you know, 2 or 3 years ago when it was a midfield of Lundstrom, Jack, Kamara, there wasn't, you know, much of a difference between them. They all sort of fulfilled the same role. I think there's a nicer balance in the midfield now, and Lundstrom's key to it.
You can't celebrate a goal like that and then turn down a contract, can you? Surely, and leave 6 months later.
We'll point to the badge. Yeah,
punched it more than 2-3 times.
It's a fair point. Thanks to John. 01419511025. You know the drill. Give us a call and we'll try and get you on next. Clyde One. Make me a winner. Yes, let me tell you about Make Me a Winner, because as always, it promises to be another big week. It was Jill's best Monday ever. Just imagine the feeling. It's Monday. Who truly enjoys Monday? Apart from me, because I get to see Andy and Roger. But Jill won £161,000. Believe me, that is better than spending the evening with Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah. She's going to take the family on a cruise, pay off the mortgage, do loads of things in the house that she's been putting off for ages. And you could be the winner of £162,000 tomorrow, but you need to be in that draw. So text YES to 61025. Text are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. All the rules for this network competition are online, and if you get the call after 3pm tomorrow, answer within 5 rings, say Make Me a Winner straight away to win £162,000.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah are here doing the usual analysis of the weekend's talking points. If you want to talk about a more performance based approach, you can do in terms of results and good goals and good passages of play and players that are catching your eye, you can. But I totally accept Monday night can be about refereeing decisions. So who am I to stop you giving you what you want? John is on the line. What's your take on it all, John?
I was saying the producer there about the handball. Obviously, this has been going for so long. We'll talk about the Celtic game a couple of weeks ago and the three penalties, two and one of their penalties. Right. So, and I was talking about it. I said to him about the corner ghost incident. I think VAR was in there. You might correct me if I'm wrong.
The one against Celtic?
Rangers place. I think. I don't know if VAR was in at the time. The corner ghost put his hands up to his face, which is obviously an unnatural position. Right. So, what my problem is, right, how can referees of VAR not be held accountable? Now, there's millions. I mean, this is not just like Celtic Rangers. This affects. There is clubs. There is millions of pounds at stake here, right? Clubs to get down. I mean, talk for no firm. Well, there's no firm now, but talk about Celtic Rangers. This is potentially £60 million on the line here, right?
Right.
And somebody makes a decision, and if it's wrong, they're not held accountable. This is madness. Absolute madness.
But in terms of, you know, like the £60 million on... do you want a debate about Conor Goldson's handball?
No, I want a debate about VAR. So nobody's held accountable. So VAR just says, and that's it. And there is nobody... You can't have one person just make the decision and not be held accountable. That's not how it works in business, right? See, they're talking about business, uh-huh, right? That's not how it works, right? One person makes all... Unless you're the chairman of the board or you own the company, you don't make... That's the only person who makes a decision. But there's somebody on VAR making decisions that are potentially cost clubs millions and millions of pounds. Now, John Beaton Wright, listen, I've already highlighted about John Beaton Wright, and it's been spoke before, but he's a well-known Rangers supporter, right? That's absolutely ridiculous, right? That's madness, right? See, we think of this, just think about it.
Listen, we've not overstepped the line, I don't think. I would urge you to be just cautious about getting too personal about referees, if that's all right.
Well, listen, why should I be cautious? This is a well-known Rangers supporter refereeing Celtic games. This is madness. This is absolute crazy. This would never happen anywhere else.
Listen, as I've said before, when it gets to that point, John Beaton's not here, and... You know the way Scottish football works. Even if John Beaton was to, I think you'll find I'm actually a lifelong Motherwell fan. No one would believe him. I know what John on the line is referring to, obviously. Well, listen, I'm glad you said it.
John's talking about VAR now and accountability, etc. Now, we've only had VAR in here since a year past in October. I know it seems a lot longer than that, God. It seems as if it's been with us forever. And at the time VAR came in, Ian Maxwell, chief executive of the SFA, warned there were going to be difficult times ahead until we got our head round VAR. And the first time there was one of those wee bulletins at the SFA referees department have at the start of the season. They said there was, for the first round of games, did they say there was three mistakes?
Yeah.
Made independent review panel pinpointed three mistakes. It's not bad. Second time they did that, for the second round of games, there were 13 mistakes. Right? So for me, that's sort of moving in the wrong direction, if you like.
I think you're giving that way too much credit, to be honest. Because this is the point, to get back to John. Talking about being held accountable, we're not dealing with things that are fact. We're dealing with subjective decisions. So this notion, fine, if there are proper procedural howling errors that have taken place and the repeat offenders, you'd like to think there's a structure in place. But as an example, in the three, there still might be ones that you disagree with, or ones that were overlooked in the, what was it? What was the next number again?
13.
In the 13, there were still ones that I look at and disagree with. It's just another set of eyes. We act like all these things are gospel. We act like they're set in stone. When the English Premier League did their review, they had 20, but they've got more games than us. Yeah. These are still subjective.
How high do we let that number go before there is a degree more of accountability? You know, if managers, i.e., Barry Robson or Malky Mackay or Derek Adams, if they keep on making mistakes, they end up getting sacked.
I honestly don't think that's comparable.
If players keep on making mistakes, they get dropped for the team. You know, I just wonder.
You lose a football game, right? You lose a football game. It's a fact.
Yeah.
We're now at, we might see these same 10 decisions and none of us might agree, but you've decided, or John's decided, that that ref's made 10 mistakes.
No, the independent review panel.
But again, it's just another set of eyes, that. Well, and it's good to give it a bit of credit. Of course it is.
If that's the case, then it should just disband it. If we're not to give it any credence
like,
at all.
But that's like anything, because it was the whole point of it is brought around is so that Scottish FA are not seen to mark their own homework. None of it's gospel. It doesn't matter who you are, because it's a subjective decision. It's a subjective thing. It doesn't matter how many people look at it.
Well, if it's subjective, then they shouldn't have the independent review panel looking at it, because it doesn't achieve anything if you're saying that. What I'm saying is, John's looking for accountability. People bang on about VAR. VAR itself, VAR, the notion of VAR, the mechanism of VAR is a good thing. The advent of VAR, it helps the official. The problems with VAR comes with the inconsistent implementation by human beings.
But this is the point. Right? Take a step back. The phrase, where is the accountability for the mistakes? How do you get that when you can't even agree on what is or isn't a mistake?
VAR and referees reimbursing the 60 million that clubs lost. I think that's what John was alluding to.
But do you see my point?
I do see your point, Gordon, but I think
there's bound to be some, right? But by and large, if you and I and John can't agree on what's a mistake, how do you even get to the point where you're looking for accountability for the mistakes? Referees are marked down, whether that does enough or not.
Are we then accepting that the implementation of VAR is never going to improve from this day forward?
I think it's going to be tweaked, but I think if you expect... Well, as an example, what do you want? You want the richest league in the world that have had VAR for years and years before us, and yet Jurgen Klopp saying it's this, that and the next thing, and it's a tight... We're kidding ourselves on, because in 20 years, guess what? The decisions will still be subjective.
I was pretty vocal, as you know, before VAR was introduced, that I wasn't a big fan of it. Seeing it elsewhere, seeing how it was portrayed, a big thing for me was the sort of delayed celebrations we're getting for football players. But since it's came in, I just want it tweaked, like you just mentioned that word there. And I think a big thing for me that has to change is the clear and obvious error. I think a referee shouldn't have to be restricted by if the VAR think it is a clear and obvious error. I think if they feel as if he's got a decision wrong, all right. But if he's got it wrong, send him to the monitor, have a second look at different camera angles. I think it would improve VAR leaps and bounds.
I'm just chuckling there, Gordon, at the thought in 20 years' time, 94-year-old Hugh Keevans on this show talking about the narrative and saying things don't suit his argument.
But it's true, right? Because you have now offered this thing about, you know, where's the accountability? At the end of a game yesterday, where you thought the ref got them all right.
I did, yes.
So, do you know what? You see that leap that I'm talking about?
Gordon, I do. But if we're going to disregard everything the independent review panel say and just say, oh, well, there were 13 or there were 3 or there were 27 or there were 19 mistakes.
Listen, I think once that number... if that number gets obviously like out of
control.
That's
the point I was making. If it does, you know, it's going in an upward trajectory at the minute.
We've had two of them. But it's not a brilliant sample.
But the second one was more than four times bigger than the first one.
Right, but as an example then, 6 years into the richest league in the world with all the cameras, they had 20 as well. Like, so this is the point.
A lot of games of football played down. A lot more games of football played down there.
Right, versus 13. Mm-hmm. Do the maths, that's not that different.
No, that's what I'm saying. There's a lot more. For those 20 mistakes, an awful lot of games of football played for 20 mistakes.
We've got 13.
Mm-hmm. For a lot fewer games.
Not that much difference.
Mm.
Are you serious? Do you want to get the calculator out? It would be worse, but it wouldn't be like dramatically worse per game. Of course it wouldn't be.
I do think if you look at the three in the first round of fixtures,
yeah, that
you
was possibly too
disagree
low.
With
exactly.
three. You probably agree with three. You probably see another five or six that you think the referees and VAR got wrong.
John, just wait till this weekend. There's a VAR decision against Motherwell. He'd see a different side of him next Monday.
I do find it funny thinking 365 days ago people thought that these debates would stop because the introduction of VAR. I don't think that was ever going to be the case in the west of Scotland.
The good thing about Beat the Pundit is there is no VAR anywhere. Let's play
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time, 01419511025. And the lines close at 7. Let's hear from you.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here, 01419511025. We've probably done our usual Monday night refereeing VAR slot. If you want to talk about anything else, we are here for you. What about this Neil Warnock stuff? This debacle, call it whatever you will. A few different pieces of communication coming out of Aberdeen this weekend. You could get your thoughts in on that. You could tell us about your team's performance at the weekend. We will definitely look ahead to Morton against Hearts. That is a cracker. That will conclude the quarter-final lineup tonight, and it's getting ever closer. But before that, a big game of our own.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here. It's a tough school on a Monday night, but do you know what? Still, people phone. They like it. They like the challenge. I don't mind it. I like the ambition from Daniel and Cambus Lang. How's it going, Daniel?
Not bad myself. Not bad.
Yeah, good. Have you ever played before?
No, it's my first time. Good.
Do all right when you play along at home?
Not very often. Aye,
I like that. He's just giving it a go. Good man, right? If it's heads, it will be Andy Halliday. If it's tails, it will be Roger Hanna. And it is heads. I feel like you've not played in a while. No?
Couple of weeks. Is I never played last week. I played the week before.
Okay, never mind. It's going to be Andy against Daniel in Cambus Lang. So let's give Andy some greatest hits radio to listen to. Turn it up nice and loud so that he can't hear us. The rules are very simple, Daniel. Even our pundits can follow them. 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. If you want to pass and move on, that is fine, okay?
Right.
Right, top man then. 30 seconds. Going on the clock. And your time starts now. Who were the first team Rangers played in the Scottish Cup this season?
Ross County.
Which Partick Thistle players reached over 20 goals in consecutive seasons?
Higginbotham.
What club did Celtic sign Nicholas Kuhn from?
Red Bull.
Which English club connects Colin Hendry, Kevin Gallagher and Charlie Mulgrew?
Blackburn.
Name any team currently in the Scottish Championship playoff places.
Morton.
Okay, okay, let's bring Andy Halliday back. Andy Halliday, can you hear us?
Yes, hello.
What were you listening to there?
No, well, look at the team lines for Morton Hearts.
Oh, he's multitasking, is he? Right, okay.
Oh, it was, who was it, the Swifty, Taylor Swift.
Oh, right. I think big fan of...
No, I'm not a huge fan.
No, right, okay. 30 seconds, Andy. Same set of questions. And your time starts now. Who were the first team Rangers played in the Scottish Cup this season?
Yeah.
Which Partick Thistle players reached over 20 goals in consecutive seasons?
Brian Graham.
What club did Celtic sign Nicholas Kuhn from?
Rapid Vienna.
Which English club connects Colin Hendry, Kevin Gallagher and Charlie Mulgrew? Name any team currently in the Scottish Championship playoff places.
Rafe.
How many games did Neil Warnock last as Aberdeen manager?
8.
Which Scotland international was sent off in the English Premier League at the weekend? Name the Stranraer striker that's gone viral after a song about him.
Oh.
I'm going to play it for you in a minute. Get that lined up. It is the song of the century. Get it lined up right now so we can. No?
Oh, sorry, I thought it was out of time.
We are kind of out of time.
I'm out of time.
Not coming back to you?
No, it's not.
I'll play it in a minute to remind you.
Bang, bang.
Don't spoil it. Don't spoil it. Right. How do you think that went, Daniel?
Oh, not well at all.
Not well at all. That's not a good post-match analysis. Let's find out. I think, for some reason, these are the hardest types of questions. See that first one? Who were the first team Rangers played in the Cup this season? Dumbarton.
So it was, yeah.
I just don't know what that is. It's just
in the rain.
It's like
horrible.
Too recent.
Saturday
was
night.
Was it the round after?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Dumbarton, none of you got it. The Partick Thistle player to reach 20 goals in consecutive seasons is Brian Graham. Andy Halliday got it. Apparently the first to do it since George Smith in the late 50s. Can we verify that?
I remember George Smith.
I know a man who probably could verify it.
Mark Wilson. Now that he's the big Partick Thistle
the Shugster
spokesman. What a couple of weeks Brian Graham's got coming up, eh?
He's got his final coming up as well.
He's the head coach of the Partick Thistle women's team. They play against Rangers in the Sky Sports Cup final very soon. But anyway, back to the game. 1-0 Andy Halliday. I'm afraid it goes 2-0. It was Rapid Vienna, Daniel, that Nicholas Kuhn signed from. But you did get points on the board. Colin Hendry, Kevin Gallagher and Charlie Mulgrew, all connected by Blackburn Rovers. You were right as well. You knew that Morton were in the playoffs, but unfortunately for you, Andy Halliday knew Partick Thistle. You said Partick
Rafe,
or Wraith, sorry, Wraith in there. So 4-2 Andy Halliday. He then started to stretch off into the distance because you ran out of time, Daniel. Neil Warnock, 8 games. It's one of those things you'll look back on. Remember Neil Warnock was in charge of Aberdeen for 8 games at the age of 75.
33 days is a crazier start for me.
It is, yeah, because there's a few days. Games packed in. Unbelievable. Anyway, and John McGinn was sent off at the weekend. Red card?
Yeah, for me, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. His poor brother went down to watch him this weekend as well. It's not a bad game. It's not a great game to go to.
At least they've been back up in the box and to I see him before the end.
Paul's boys were the mascots.
Oh no.
It's a bad one to go to.
Yeah, listen,
job when I've been talking to him for
to
2 days.
Too much. It's a real, it's really divided people, that one though, hasn't it? It feels like, because
I've seen a lot of people defend it, but
because there's no, like, we talk about lunge or slide, it's not often you see someone sent off for a tackle that they stay on their feet, if that makes any sense.
It's a good old fashioned kick.
Any different from what Ederson did? That would be my question.
Not hugely different.
Where's the consistency, Roger?
There you are.
When are we going to get some accountability?
Come on,
that's your argument.
Where's
the accountability?
Well, we'll have to have a little look for accountability.
Only 20 errors, Roger, in the EPL's VAR review.
Was so upset.
Come on, Roger.
He wasn't just shouting at the referee of the day. He was shouting at retired referees yesterday.
Exactly. So when are they going to get better, Roger?
My question exactly, because they need to get better.
No, you said, when are we going to get better?
Well, I also said earlier on the show that Scottish referees this weekend were better than the English or the overseas ones, Gordon.
Right, okay. Something like that. And the Stranraer striker that's gone viral after the AI song about it. Take it away,
Darren Lang. It's bang, and it's Darren Lang with number
Darren
five.
Lang. We need to let this play.
Bang, bang, Darren Lang for number five. They call him
bang, bang, Darren Lang. Honestly, how good is that? Brilliant, honestly. That's plenty. We get the gist.
Very creative.
So good, isn't it?
Yeah, very
outstanding.
Creative.
Was that the first? Had you heard it before?
No,
played
not
it on
played
Saturday.
It on Saturday. No, no.
Isn't it? Anyway, Daniel, you got to hear a bit of music. That was all. But all I can offer you, it was a convincing win for Halliday. Hardlines.
I'll give it a go.
You did, and that's all you can do. Thanks
lucky
very
Daniel.
Much, Daniel.
We must, in the year 2024, we must be able to get an AI goal song for Gordon DL.
Oh, have you? Speaking of AI and technology and Gordon DL, have you seen it?
I have seen it, Gordon.
Honestly,
I hope the nation has seen it.
I'll need to.
It's brilliant.
I'll need to explain this to him tomorrow, or put it to him tomorrow. Last night, a 6 hour show in here, I'll keep banging on about it till everyone's sick of it. I've been feeling under the weather this weekend. I thought, I just want to go home, not think about football or my phone or anything. But everybody kept sending me this picture, and I thought, what's the hype here? So I guess it's some sort of AI Disney Pixar representation of Ronnie Pickering, you know, the infamous viral clip. The problem being, how much does this look like Gordon DL? I mean, seriously, uncanny.
Superb,
I'll keep speaking so that the cameras stay on me in the live stream, and hopefully we can maybe zoom in a little bit and just get it even closer, because that is genuinely like every bit of it.
Separated at birth.
The size of the beak, the colour, the grey hair, the expression on the face.
Who's that the Dazzler's got in the passenger seat?
That's Mark Wilson alongside him. It's not the first strange blunt that's probably been. Anyway,
nearly biting through my tongue.
But Roger, you've seen it on social media as well. It's uncanny.
And it is uncanny. And I think what makes you and I really think how uncanny it is, remember that famous social media clip, Gordon, when you and I arrived here for a Saturday show once. He was in the car park. We parked next to him, and he...
That's right. I've tweeted a video of him swearing at us from outside his car.
It is Ronnie Pickering.
It's very like that, isn't it? That's it. I'm going to retweet that as
that's
well.
What
that
to
video.
Do.
I'm going to go and dig that out. Because that was when... Did you provide the full context there? I was only half listening.
Yes.
Sorry, I was... When I swapped him as a car buddy for you, and he didn't take it well. So, move house, these things happen.
You just went through a wee car buddy stage, didn't you?
We did.
You took me home on Friday.
I did.
Yeah, it's nice sometimes.
I wouldn't mind a lift home now and again, but.
Let's just ask.
I'm glad, you know what?
I've been teaching.
I missed Hugh Keevans, but that dropping them off after the radio, I'm delighted I don't need to drop Roger off. Do you know that?
Listen,
I'm going off my dinner.
He's got some cheek, because part of my Monday routine now is to help Andy Halliday charge his car outside Super Scoreboard.
That's true.
He uses my wire because his isn't long enough.
Well,
moving on. 0141951.
It's all about how you use it.
102.
Exactly.
No, see, that's the thing. For this,
I can't use it either.
Length is important on this. Mm-hmm. It's like the only requirement, really.
Yeah.
It must be long enough to reach its intended target.
Last week I was parked up the curb and everything. Still couldn't get there.
Just trying to manoeuvre it.
Does
in
that
and
tell
it
you about the length
of anyway, 0141951 1025. Let's get back to the calls. I would happily hear Bang Bang Darren Lang again, I must say. But But we'll probably just move on. Plenty of talking points. We could do the teams, shall we, from the game that you mentioned there, because it's a massive one tonight. Morton at home. You have to keep Andy Halliday away from this. It's a bit of flashbacks. Not only did Motherwell get dumped out the cup there, he got injured and missed the next few games. So Mullen, Strap, O'Connor, Baird, Blues, Muirhead, Crawford, Broadfoot, Power, Gillespie and French. Forgive me, I know that was crude, just not doing it in position order, but it was just a quick glance. Scottish Cup goalkeeper Craig Gordon back in for Hearts. Kingsley, Beningame, Grant, Shankland, Devlin, Rolls, Forrest, Sibic, Vargas and Lembi Kisa. What do you think tonight?
Listen, Dougie Emery's already said in his pre-match comments that he wants to make it horrible for Hearts, and it's one of them where you almost feel like if it's a 3 o'clock on a Saturday, you fancy Hearts to be comfortable winners, but just being that Monday night, I think it's a sellout, is that right? It's a record attendance for Morton at Capello, and I must say, I think Oakley missing for Morton's a huge miss for them, and I do envisage a comfortable Hearts victory.
The case for Morton is quite obvious. Knocked the Steelmen out in the previous round, had that 15-16 game unbeaten run, Roger, absolutely flying. They're up against clearly the third best team in the country. They're up against the deadliest striker in the country, and actually they've tailed off slightly after that good run, which maybe was to be expected.
Well, if Hearts are to get into the semi-final draw later tonight, then they are going to have to work for it. If you look at that Morton lineup, three centre-halves, Kurt Broadfoot, Jack Baird, Dara O'Connor, not many shrinking violets in there. Centre-mid, Alan Power, Grant Gillespie, the skipper, Robbie Crawford, not exactly shrinking violets either. So Morton will make Hearts work for anything that they get at Capello tonight.
For anyone that hasn't watched Morton play this year, their number three, Lewis Strapp, possesses the longest throw in the history of football. I'm talking about long. It's got to be longer than Roy Delap.
No, never.
I'm telling you, it's got to be.
He does it. It's a canon, isn't it? I've noticed it.
He only came back in January. He was released last summer. Didn't find a club. He was training at Kilmarnock. Dougie re-signed him in January, and it actually coincided with the majority of that great run Morton were on to take them up into the playoff places. That is a weapon, attacking wise.
I hate to bring up the game again, but when we were doing the analysis at Motherwell and we were watching Morton, remember when they beat Dunfermline 5-0 East End Park? And anyone that's been to East End Park, it's a big pitch, it's very wide. His throws were hitting past the back post. And look out for it tonight, it's the longest throw I've ever seen.
Yeah, it should be an interesting one. Lauren Shankland, of course, had a time at Morton, didn't he? A time in his career where he was probably trying to find his way again, and now look at him, as they say.
Yeah, listen, we just mentioned John Lundstrom. I'd argue John Lundstrom's been one of the best players in Scotland since the turn of the year. I think the only one that's ahead of him is that man, Lauren Shankland. I think he's been the difference for Hearts in so many games. Top goal scorer in the league by 6 goals is a pretty decent margin at this stage of the season. And listen, he's just a go-to man for Hearts. I wouldn't be surprised to see him get on the score sheet again tonight.
Is he a Player of the Year candidate?
I think he is the Player of the Year as it stands. I thought O'Reilly, up to Christmas, probably had a big say in that. But I think his personal form's dipped off slightly, I think Lauren Shankland's just kicked on.
There's a Scotland squad coming out tomorrow.
Tomorrow, that's right.
Is there an argument for Lauren Shankland in one of these games away to the Netherlands, home to Northern Ireland, to to start a game ahead of Lyndon Dykes and Jay Adams?
I wouldn't like it to even be an argument, to be honest, Roger. I think he needs an opportunity to show what he can do from the start. I think that Northern Ireland game especially, I'd be willing to play him and lead the line up front. I think Lyndon Dykes has been a fantastic servant for Scotland, but he's not in the greatest of forms at QPR. And we've got the top marksman in the country that's looking for an opportunity in international football, especially from a start. And I think going to the Euros, I think the form he's in, you want to try and get one or two appearances along with probably Lewis Ferguson, I would argue, to see what he can do. And hopefully it comes in the coming weeks.
It's worth bearing in mind, I think I'm remembering this correctly, it wasn't in the last squad.
It was a late call up, yeah.
So normally the debate would be, I wonder if he'll make the squad. You've not been in the last squad and only in it because somebody pulls out, it would follow that it's not a guarantee you're in the next one.
I agree.
I think most people clearly feel that it will be a guarantee this time.
I think the Lewis Ferguson one's a lot easier. Listen, he's probably competing in one of the most difficult positions in the pitch to get into the team. But I think with Callum McGregor obviously missing the two friendlies, I would imagine that Lewis Ferguson will grasp an opportunity there. But Lauren Shankland, for me, I just think I thought it was harsh to get left out of that squad, but you're right in pointing that out. But
came
since
he scored, so you'd like to think.
I think he currently stands at maybe 23 or 22 goals in his last 22 or 23 games. For me, I don't think there's a doubt he's going to be in the squad, but I think he's got to lead the line at least one of the two games.
Yeah, well, looking forward to that tonight anyway, Morton against Hearts. We'll hopefully get a good game and we'll find out what the semi-final lineup looks like in the Scottish Cup. It's getting serious now. Hamden awaiting. 0141 951 1025. Fraser is in Stirling. I think you've got Aberdeen on your mind, Fraser.
Well, not really. Gordon, you want to say hello? Andy, hello. Roger, how are you doing tonight?
Hi, Fraser. Someone's given me dodgy information. My apologies.
No, it's fine. At the top of the show that you said about Aberdeen potentially to kind of recruit within the top flight. I mean, the only name for me jumps off that list that's not been given a chance is Martindale. I think he steps in there, no problem at all.
All right, we do have Aberdeen on the mind after all. So, David Martindale, Roger, I like this stage because you can chuck any name you want in.
Well,
can you see it?
Aberdeen have been chucking any name you want in, you know, since
steady.
You know, there was an era of stability for Aberdeen with Stuart Milne and Derek McInnes, and it seems a lifetime ago because since then Aberdeen have gone through the Stephen Glass experiment, bringing him back over from Atlanta. They've gone for the sort of hot ticket of the moment, who was Jim Goodwin. They've tried an internal appointment with Barry Robson. They've gone for the old fella with Neil Warnock. Peter Leaven is now in his second spell as caretaker, and he'll take charge for the trip to Dundee on Wednesday night and the trip to your Motherwell team on Saturday. So they've gone for about everybody else. So it'll be fascinating to see where they go next. David Martindale is an interesting suggestion. Michael O'Neill, the Northern Ireland manager.
What does interesting suggestion mean? One that you can see?
No, one that I hadn't heard before.
Can you see that being a realistic possibility?
I'm not sure, to be honest. Possibly not at the minute because he's not one of the names that's doing the rounds. There's a German consultancy firm, as you'll have seen from the club's statement today, who have been helping them with a review of football operations. They will help with the targeting of a first team manager and also a technical director who will help the director of football and the first team manager.
I didn't know teams had technical directors and director of football. That's probably an ignorance on my part.
You can have whoever you like.
It just seems a lot.
Seem a lot. You're correct.
Will
they be looking at potential German candidates, perhaps?
In the interest of time, let's bring it up to today, if you like, because we went over the weekend at the news, the shot. We said 8 games, 33 days, you know, after his only real good performance and result, actually. Said, what do you make of the overall picture, knowing what we know today, Roger? Because I'll go back to Saturday. There's a statement comes out just before 3 o'clock. Neil Warnock stepped aside. Chairman Dave Cormack thanks them. With the search for a new manager at an advanced stage, Peter Leaven will assume control until the process is concluded. Neil Warnock then, and fair play to him, he then speaks to the media and sort of says, yeah, look, I told him, and I'm paraphrasing, I told him, it, you know, it was time, you know, they know what they're doing now, I think was one of the phrases.
Great quote.
And again, he kind of echoes that and says that they're close or they're well down the line. Yeah. I think he says they're well down the line to appointing a new manager. Now, this morning, a statement comes out and reveals that interviews will start this week.
Yeah.
It may well be a manager that's still employed by another club. And Peter Leaven will take charge of the team on Wednesday night. Maybe an appointment could be made during the international break.
Yeah.
Is there a contradiction between those two things? Those two communications?
Of course there is. Unless the word advanced has a different meaning in Aberdeen than it does in Glasgow. I heard you boys, I was at Tannadice on Saturday. You guys were discussing the Saturday Aberdeen statement and Neil Warnock's post-match quotes on the show and debating, you know, why bring Peter Leaven's name into it, because it sounds as if they'll have a manager in place for Dens Park on Wednesday night. Clearly, they won't. They've admitted as much today. They won't have a manager in place for Fir Park on Saturday either. The interviews are just starting this week. They may well target people in employment, as you say. Whether that means Michael O'Neill, the Northern Ireland manager, or not, I do not know. Whether it involves German coaches currently in employment, we do not know. But Aberdeen need to be very careful, Gordon, because Neil Warnock's reign, it ended in a high with a win against Kilmarnock. He didn't win a single league game. They're only 4 points above Ross County in that relegation playoff place, and they play Ross County before the month's out. Aberdeen need to be careful.
You'll be careful with what you're saying, because
yeah, I don't want to give them a dressing room headline at the weekend.
They'll play Aberdeen next, but quite an episode, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has been. Listen, I think ultimately the way the situation is now, I think, is the situation that it should have been months ago, whereas Peter Leaven was left in caretaker charge, and Aberdeen were led to try and get the next manager in at the football club. And listen, Peter Leaven got a tune out of his players last time he was a caretaker. Yeah. He managed to get a 1-1 draw against Celtic and a really positive performance. But it almost seems like Derek McInnes was sacked as Aberdeen manager has been a bit of a scattergun in terms of approach.
Thanks, Fraser, for the suggestion. We'll see if it is David Martindale or someone else. 01419511025. We'll take more of your calls next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah and Andy Halliday. They're about to be joined by Tony, who's on the line. But very quickly, let me give you this first.
The full-time teaser with Universal Interiors East Kilbride, offering champion bespoke media units to put you right in the game.
Right, thank you to Ian in Livingston for sending this question in. It's an interesting one. It's since September 1990, very specific, I have to say. Since September 1990, from the current 12 teams in the Premiership, there have been 9 managers whose first name and surname begin with the same letter. It's very specific, I told you.
Can you read that again? Because the question on the TV was different to the question.
There was a
last
minute
that
change, you see. Since September 1990, from the current 12 teams in the Premiership, there have been 9 managers whose first name and surname begin with the same letter.
Jim Jeffries.
Oh, that's the only one I had, Roger.
That's the only one I had. I need a quick.
I'm thinking, let's see if Andy Halliday's had any of these as manager. I'm going to say no. You're fine. You're off the hook. Well, sort of. You still need to get them, but
since September, man, there's a clue in there, you know.
Yeah,
in
1990s, the one. Mm-hmm. I think that's Mel Urie.
To be fair,
oh, it definitely is.
From what I can see, the guys who would fall roughly in that bracket went on to manage beyond 1990. So I guess that would be like the start of the.
Yeah.
But there are a couple from the 90s. There's a nice spread. There's some from very recently, it has to be said.
Oh, Malky Mackay.
Malky Mackay. Okay.
Sure.
We'll leave it with you, see what you can come up with. And if you want to submit a question on the show, it's fulltime@clyde1.com. Tony is on the line. How are you, Tony?
Bad and yourself?
Yeah, not bad, Tony, not bad. What's your point tonight?
Evening, Andy. Evening, Gordon. Tony. My point tonight is in reference to the debacle concerning referees.
Mm-hmm.
You had a caller on earlier on who was discussing John Beaton.
Yep.
He never accused John Beaton of anything, but you were very guided to make sure he didn't use certain words.
Yep.
Now, we live in a country where free speech is paramount.
Mm-hmm.
We have people. Now, I could come on here and say to you, do you know what, Gordon? I listened to George Berry this morning. He is so incompetent. I'm never listening to his show again.
Yep.
And you would accept that. We can call the Prime Minister, the First Minister, the Chief of Police. They all get called incompetent on a regular basis and all across the media. Be it radio, be it television, be it papers, be it the internet.
Mm-hmm.
All of them get slagged off. Your show gets slagged off on a regular basis. So does every other show. You all accept that people are entitled to call you incompetent because you haven't reached the level of incompetence that they want from you. That is what incompetence means. Why are we not allowed to slag off? Why are we not allowed to say that about referees?
You are.
No, I am not, because you stopped somebody on the radio earlier on from going that way. So I'm not going to go there.
Tony, you can call you honestly free. You can call referees incompetent as much as you like. Take it
on
away.
The radio. No, I don't really want to. We can.
You've just asked. You've just asked. Why can't we call referees incompetent? I'm telling you that you can.
Well, will you?
Will you
agree that a referee is incompetent?
If I felt it, I could say it. Of course, I could. I'm not a Scottish FA. I'm not a club official. They're the ones that are governed by those rules. You can call referees incompetent.
Right.
I can say I think they're incompetent.
Then,
so can Andy and Roger.
Can you explain to me then why the SFA have rules that are against the government rules of the UK? Free speech is paramount in the UK.
I honestly think we're conflating two very, very different issues here. You can criticise referees. They've just got a rule that you can't indicate incompetence or bias.
Yeah, that's
just what it is.
That's a rule. And listen, there is free speech, but there's also the laws of defamation and libel in the country. So I mean, we can't just say things willy-nilly. The use of the word incompetent, I can say a ref's incompetent. You can, Tony, you can say a ref's incompetent if you so choose. The problem for officials of football clubs be that players, managers, coaches, chairman, as they are bound by the Articles of Association at the SFA, and one of those rules is you're not allowed to imply bias or incompetence of a match official.
That's why I'll have to take some of that back, because I think within that defence I said Andy Halliday can, but yeah, he can't.
Exactly. No, Andy Halliday,
don't
Andy,
you bother.
No.
Don't you do
absolutely
it.
Absolutely not.
I can't have a notice of complaint on my conscience. I get the bones of the point, Tony, but you must get the distinction there.
No, I do. I agree with not being allowed to call somebody a cheat or saying somebody is biased, right? Because basically, if you're biased, you're cheating, right? Yeah. You're bending the rules a particular way. Being incompetent is being incompetent. There's no bias in it. You're just not up to the level. And let's face it, there are a lot of people in a lot of jobs across the country and every other country for that matter who are not up to the job. There's loads of them. There's mm-hmm. loads of people. You must have worked with some people over the years.
Steady, Tony.
Let's not open that can of worms.
What do you mean in the past? Probably, maybe the present.
Leave Mr. Diello over here.
Listen, I get the bones of it, because yeah. some people would say, look, is it that harmful for if, you know, if loads of fans are saying, think some of the refereeing decisions are incompetent, and you know, someone repeats it. I do get that. I suppose the other side of it is, it's just there in black and white. So as an example, Andy, you would know that you just can't come on here and do it, and you just kind of take that in the chin.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, ultimately, referees can be criticised, and if anyone's been listening to this show for the last 2 weeks, there's been plenty of callers phoning and criticising the referees we've got. I'm a big believer that our referees make mistakes, but referees in England make mistakes, and referees in European leagues make mistakes. We're not perfect, absolutely not, but you'll certainly not be hearing me claiming bias and incompetence today. I don't want no charges coming to my door tomorrow.
That would be, honestly, I just couldn't cope with that. The admin getting called up as a witness in the SFA tribunal. I mean, Roger, I think Hugh made a similar point. He was speaking about it. You know, Brendan Rodgers was just saying what loads of other people were thinking. I get that. Yeah. It's also just, it's just one of those things. Rules are a pain in the backside sometimes, but what, you know, when they're there, you sometimes have to take it in the chin.
Yeah, and rules are rules. So the rules don't cover us, they cover Andy, don't cover you and I, Gordon, but they do cover Brendan and other managers and other players, etc. That's what they sign up to, you know. They're playing under the rules of the SFA. If you transgress, then you will face a hearing for it.
Tony, are we going to meet in the middle? Can you, are we winning your round at all?
Like I say, I would never accuse a referee of cheating or bias, never. They go out, and I genuinely believe every single referee goes out and does his best on the day, but some of them are just not up to it. Mm. And it doesn't matter what sport that is in.
Yeah, and do you know what? See, I actually kind of get where Tony's coming from, because I think the bias bit to me feels more serious than the incompetent bit, because as we covered last week, and we're still going over it, Brendan Rodgers actually can say, I think the ref had a really bad day, he got all the decisions wrong, I'm really disappointed, you know, I thought it was terrible. He actually can say all those things, but it's almost like as soon as you use that trigger word or come close to implying it,
I get called incompetent every week.
It's funny. It's called worse than that.
That's a good point you make, and it's funny how they throw together those words, incompetent and bias, because they're two wholly different
things.
Yeah,
very different, they are.
You know, if a referee, as we've said before about Scottish referees in the past, some of them aren't very good, but I think they're all honest.
Because I do want, and again, we're going way off, but I wonder how they feel, because let's be honest, they get called a lot.
Yeah, so I don't think they would be too offended being competent, to be honest with you, on a certain day.
Exactly, whereas like bias, that is completely different. That's like, you know, your credibility and all that sort of stuff. So well, maybe we'll meet somewhere near the middle, Tony. Thanks for taking the time.
I might even, when I retire, I might even release the referee that I don't particularly like.
Anywhere else, and your referees are no worse than any sport. Yeah. Any other sport. As I said, I don't watch football. I listen to it on your show, but I watch rugby, I watch Celtic, I watch basketball. And you see mistakes on a regular basis. But the problem is you see the same mistakes by the same referees or umpires on a regular basis. They're not learning by their mistakes. Maybe if they were properly criticised a bit more, their authorities would think, hang on, wait a minute, people are seeing this and people are saying this. We'll take it on board. And we'll go and we'll coach the man to make him better at his job, to make the product better.
If only it was that simple, Tony. If only it was that simple. They must be trying to do that, you would imagine.
I don't know. This is the problem. Listen to your show. It seems to be one, two, maybe four referees on a regular basis get pinned on your show regular.
I don't know. We don't have that many, really, Roger. When you think about it, it's like any. There are a few refs. They're the most high profile. They get the high profile games. Let's be honest, on this show and in this part of the world, no one bats an eyelid unless it involves Celtic or Rangers. So it's bound to come back to the same people that are focused on.
Of course,
it's inevitable.
Especially the ones that get the bigger games. But I think you'd find, Gordon, I think players have a lot different opinions to the public and fans are what they define as what's a good referee and what's a bad referee.
Go on then.
Because ultimately, I think a lot of players can accept that every single referee will make a mistake. But a lot of players prefer the referees that are more approachable, ones that you can talk to, ones you'll get a bit of reasoning in.
And they
might
who?
Even hold up. I'm not going to name them.
No, because you're not asking you to name the bad ones.
I know, but I feel like by naming the good ones, you can guess who I think's the bad ones. But I've had umpteen times with a referee after making a mistake. If I get a bit frustrated, they'll say to me, do you know what? I might have got that one wrong. I think it's players you can accept that because they're going to make mistakes.
Okay. Why are you dressed like a referee tonight anyway? It seems like a good time to ask the question. Black and white Adidas gear screams referee. Is that why you're being so kind to them?
Oh, after months of planning, me and my younger brother Robbie have decided to start a coaching academy. So yeah, I thought product placement, I think it's called in the industry, Gordon. I thought with a live stream, I'll take an opportunity to wear it and show off the badge. So
player to pro academy,
player to
Andy
pro academy,
and Robbie
yeah.
Halliday. Give us a sales pitch. Roger Hanna's got £1 million apparently that he wants to throw at a new. No, you don't.
No.
He wanted to throw it at a new
Christopher
business.
Christopher Mercer might.
He might get a sponsorship.
But listen, I've sat in this chair for a long time in other media outlets talking about how much I'm passionate about Scottish development and development in young players. So it's about time I sort of put that to the test and show that I want to try and make a difference. So it's been something that we've spoken about for a long period of time. Finally took the punch to go and do it.
And what's the gist of it?
We're going to be doing small group sessions in academy 3 nights a week. Don't want to give away too much yet because we've not released it. But obviously that's the plan. It's something I'm really looking forward to.
And if any parents are listening and want to get their children involved, how would they go about it?
We've got the Instagram, we've got the Twitter. It's Play to Pro Academy. We've got an interest form that you can submit and we'd take it for that.
There we go. Am I tooled?
Maybe sailed? Slightly.
That ship's definitely sailed.
Hugh's definitely tooled.
Anyway, you could recruit Hugh. What would his role be within the academy?
Well, maybe a referee.
Media training.
Maybe a referee if we have a wee small sided game at the end.
Imagine the abuse he'd get called worse than incompetent. And that's just off Mrs. Keevans. Anyway, thank you to
is
Tony.
Is Specky Tube worse than incompetent?
it is this week when I'm having to wear mine. So
me too.
You and I, people in class houses and all that. We'll thank Tony for his time. Right, you can still get your calls in. But before we go any further, this is something a bit different. Let me tell you about this.
I thought that was a mistake.
You like that?
That's nice.
Don't know what that's meant.
Is that jazz?
So, Clyde One is once again the official radio station of the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. Ironic, because our pundits are amongst the unfunniest people you will ever meet. But all this week on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we've got tickets to give away to some of the shows. And not only that, we're going to throw in your tea as well, dinner, to other people. Tonight you could be off to see the brilliant Susie McCabe and the Phantom of Menace at the King's this Friday, with dinner for two at the Duke's Umbrella. A wee night out on us. And it's really easy to win. All you have to do is give me the punchline to this football joke which one of our resident comedians / pundits is going to give you. Now, the Comedy Festival have been recommending gigs for our pundits. Apparently, Andy Halliday, you've been recommended to go and see Craig Hill because this gets harder every year, is the title of that show. So you could say that as you start another pre-season in the summer.
Do you know, one of my mates is a doppelganger for Craig Hill, so much so that my mate's wife goes to all the Craig Hill concerts.
I'm not sure I want to ask any more about that. Sounds a bit never mind. You've been recommended to go and see Reginald D. Hunter, the man who could see through.
He is a funny man.
With Roger's knowledge and experience, he usually brings an air of calm to some of the madness on air. So here is the deal. I am going to ask you the first part of the joke. You need to call in with the punchline. But these are like Christmas cracker level jokes, okay? That's what we're looking for here. If you can guess the punchline that we've got written down, you could be off to see Susie McCabe this Friday at the King's. So call me now, 01419511025. Here's this first part of your joke. Why are footballers like babies? Honestly, why are footballers like babies? If you can give me the punchline that I've got written down, 01419511025, you have until the end of this break.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West.
0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah are here. Still time to get your calls in on tonight's show. We're about to kick off at Capello between Morton and Hearts as well, so keep you up to speed on the early stages of that one. In the meantime, let's quickly play this. I like that music. Not quite good as Bang Bang Darren Lang.
Monsters Inc, isn't it?
We'll let it go. Tonight you could be off to see the brilliant Susie McCabe. And my apologies to Susie, who I've met and does great things in the comedy world. A big football fan as well. It's the Merchant of Menace. The great thing about this show, Susie, is I'll just throw other people under the bus. I'm shameless like that. Somebody gave me the wrong name on a bit of paper, and I'm very sorry for it. But the Merchant of Menace at the King's this Friday, with dinner for two at the Duke's Umbrella. It's part of the International Comedy Festival Glasgow's version, which starts this Wednesday, and we wanted you to guess the punchline to this joke. Why are footballers like babies? Let's bring in Elaine and Paisley. How's it going, Elaine?
Fine, thank you.
Elaine, this is it. You're about to become a stand-up comedian. Why are footballers like babies?
Because they're always dribbling.
Hey, well done to Elaine and Paisley. I told you, it was a proper Christmas cracker style joke. That was the punchline. Well done to the 53 of you who somehow got the wrong answer to that. Maybe you're funnier than the version I had written down. But Elaine, you are the winner, so we're going to give you a wee night out on us. Happy with that?
That's great, thanks very much.
Good stuff, well done to Elaine. Off to the Glasgow International Comedy Festival, The Merchant of Menace, Susie McCabe, dinner at the Duke's Umbrella. And we've got plenty more to win tomorrow and the rest of the week. And you can get some extra chances to win over at Clyde1.com. There we go. How do you two feel about your teaser now? Ian and Livingston wanted you to name the, since September 1990, and from the current teams in the Premiership, there have been nine managers whose first name and surname begin with the same letter, i.e. Jim Jeffries, Malky Mackay,
Mark McGee.
Mark McGee of Motherwell, Aberdeen and Dundee fame.
How about Colin Calderwood at Hibs?
Yes, yep. I was shaking my head there, but yes, well done.
I've just got, oh no, that's all you. I've just got another one though.
Go for it. Sure.
Morris Malpas.
Yes.
Motherwell.
I was going to say of Motherwell fame. Well, I don't know if that's right.
There's always a clue. I was going back in 1990, which is Andy made me feel old by saying it was my era. What about Joe Jordan?
Yeah, Joe Jordan. I think that's the one that kicks off, that's inspired Ian and Livingston to make it that time frame. Thanks as usual, by the way, to Universal Interiors East Kilbride for their help with the teaser. And as always, email your questions fulltime at Clyde1.com. Underway at Capello. Have we missed anything inside the first 2 minutes?
No, but it looks windy. And again, I don't want to talk about the surroundings too much, but you know, if Dougie Imrie's wanting to make it a difficult night for Hearts, I certainly don't think the wind's going to help. And that, I tell you what, if we've got wind behind for a loose strap throw, it could be a sight to behold.
If there's one man that knows the wind at Capello, it's this Barnett that had to go there and put up with it just a couple of weeks ago. Andy
Halliday. Mine's are yours.
Well, it's yours for certain. And the man who was sent off there, of course, for that vile, vile gesture.
Bringing the game into disrepute
at the Morton fans. Steve Clark's there at Capello,
mm-hmm. keeping an eye on watch.
Craig Gordon, seeing what he's capable of as a as he's now Hearts number two. Obviously Lawrence Shankland, Lewis Strapp, if he wants a throw-in specialist. You're about to tell me Lewis Strapp's Irish or something.
Scottish, yeah, Scottish.
Right, I was just double checking. Kenneth Fargas got a Scottish granny or anything? No,
I don't think so. I'll never forget his nationality after that beat the pundit question I got wrong.
And
few Scotland candidates.
He's Costa Rican.
He is.
And I said he was Chilean.
Yeah, there's a couple
of Rodfoot's good caps.
Yeah, I don't
scored,
I can't
for
see
Scotland.
I can't see the recall. Who was it against? Iceland. Or something? Yeah, just about remember that one. I can't see a recall, with no offence to Kirk.
That's your mastermind, isn't it? Scotland national team.
No, not I don't know. Just because of recent my history's probably not brilliant.
St. Roger was just sitting in the chair and say everything's his mastermind.
Pretty much.
Oh, absolutely not.
I would say so. What would you like if we were to get really niche, right? So if you were on Mastermind, you couldn't just do Scottish football. That's too broad for the purposes of this discussion. What do you think your proper
Tony Orlando
subject would be? Knock how many times?
Knock three times.
What do you think? I think you're quite good with Scottish Cup finals.
Yeah.
Of
back in the day.
Yeah.
Huge chance for Morton there.
What do you think your real mastermind subject is?
Probably Scottish football, you know, late 70s to early 90s. That would probably be the era, I would think. Yeah.
How do you remember that?
Don't know.
Craig Gordon coming out, didn't they, build sort of starfish and saving it with his stomach, as you sometimes have to do. A bit of improvisation from Morton on the rebound, but it does go over the bar. So a lively start to this one.
It's going to be a big threat for Morton tonight, you'd imagine. Set pieces, I've elaborated to the longest throw in the world football, but any wide free kicks, direct free kicks, it's going to get launched into the box. They've got some big boys, especially the three centre halves that Roger mentioned.
Right, you're nearly out of time. And like sometimes this is the way it goes on a Monday. Maybe we reflect more on Tuesday and as the week goes on. We did a bit on Rangers' performance and Hibs' performance, but there was very little, I think, on Celtic's actual performance. Anything you'd like to mention?
Well, they got there, didn't they? You know, they got there in the end. As I say, I was listening to the show in the car for a period of time yesterday afternoon, and when Tete Yenge scored that terrific goal at 2-2, there was then a shout from you guys when Joe Hart made that save, and it really could have gone awry for Celtic at that stage, but it didn't. They got through. Maida gets hat-trick. Kyogo got a goal. You wonder what that would do for his confidence and his self-belief in front of goal again. And Celtic have got through minus McGregor, minus Carter Vickers, minus Hatate, minus a few of the wide players who weren't available yesterday again. And listen, it was job done.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty, but ultimately it was about getting in the hat for the next round. No, I was surprised that we won't get anyone that wanted Brendan Rodgers to elaborate on his comments of James Forrest being the best winger at the club, considering he's had very limited appearances this season.
Could maybe do that tomorrow. It was a very functional hat-trick from Dyson Maida, is that fair? I wouldn't dream of taking anything away from a hat-trick scorer. That's not my aim. I just feel like he did that job, and we didn't see, you know, loads of them throughout the game.
He's nice very instinctive. He's 100th
appearance,
and you can tell he's someone that's played as a striker, because he does come alive when he's in the box. We've seen that sort of dart to the back post. He scored many goals with that scenario. That's why I gave Livingston defenders as my howler of the weekend, because you think that's something that they would learn from for analysis and after the first goal and then the second goal and then the third goal. But you know what it is, Gordon, it's that hair. It does certain powers for you.
Went back in quicker than yours.
No, I'm not too sure about
that. He's looking very different, has to be said. And I suppose there's only one priority, it's getting through in the cup. If you're looking for signs of things that might, you know, lead to something else, Is it maybe the kickstart for Nicholas Kuhn, who's had a tough, very early period.
You know, you can only give players opportunities. It's up to the players to take those opportunities. He hadn't taken them thus far in his Celtic career, but he certainly did yesterday.
Look how far away the players are. He's on the halfway line. Genuinely, he's about to take a throw in from the halfway line. He's right in front of the tunnel, and he's going to aim for the box.
Watch this. It's in the box.
I'm quite impressed by that.
Halfway line, he's took a throw and it's went for a goal kick. Tell me that's not the longest throw in the world.
If he goes to the United States, he'd get paid $50 million a year to chuck it out.
Can I tell you something?
Any chance to bring up the NFL, send us all to sleep.
What's the Scotland squad for yours? 25 man?
Just stick him in.
Stick him in for the last 5 minutes with the long throws.
Right onto Lyndon Dykes. Yep. I can see that. Because Lyndon Dykes used to take long throws.
Yeah, he did.
You'll need to take them, run into the box, and then get in the end of them. That's not going to work, is it?
I've seen a weird player in Scottish football take a long throw recently. I can't remember who it was. Someone that you would never envisage having a long throw.
Joe Shaughnessy?
No, I think I know what you mean, but I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, I can't remember either. It will come to me by next Monday.
Was it Joel Nubley or somebody? No, it wasn't.
I can't remember.
Anyway, quick, right, you've got more managers whose first name and surname begin with the same letter.
Angelo Alessio. Yes. Kilmarnock.
Colin Cameron's not one, is it?
No. 2 to get.
No, I'm out.
Roger.
No, we might need clubs.
Dundee 92.
Oh no. My goodness.
Roger, take it away.
Dundee 92. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Simon Stainrod.
Oh, of course it. Oh, I cannot believe it. Never. Didn't get that. Oh.
And Livingston. In that Livingston period.
There's always a Livy one. 2003. So there's not Goffey, it's not Lambert, it's not.
No, from further afield. There won't have been many.
Marcio Maximo.
There we are. We've got a flashpoint in the game. Nothing comes of that. There's a Jack Beard heavy challenge, but I think we're okay. Still goalless. We will find out what the draw looks like for the semi final. That could be fun in games, and we'll reflect on it tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Make sure you join us. Callum is up next.